Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 5 of week number 39, studying Mark chapter 11. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. If you miss any of our IGH 260 broadcasts, you will find them archived at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to IGH.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll free at this number 1-855-IGH-6988 to receive a free 30 lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's return to our study of Mark chapter 11. Here's where we were at the end of our last program. Mark 11, verses 1 through 11, the final week. Jesus enters Jerusalem, the story of the colt, Hosanna to the Lord, the quick trip to the temple, to Bethany with his disciples. To demonstrate that Christ's knowledge of where the colt was serves as an example of Christ's supernatural knowledge and not as a result of his or someone else's prearrangement, we introduce this prophetic text from Matthew chapter 21, verses 4 and 5. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." You will find that John chapter 12, verse 14 and following references the same Old Testament text. Both Matthew 21 and the parallel passage, John 12, reference Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. That Old Testament prophet wrote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Zechariah 9:9 and Genesis 49, verses 8 through 12, both of which we referenced in our last broadcast, are messianic prophecies that anticipate, of course, the coming of Jesus the Christ. They not only refer to the donkey or the colt that Jesus would ride on, they, particularly Genesis 49, they also anticipated the importance of Judah and the coming Davidic seed line that eventually led to Christ. David, of course, was a descendant of Judah, and Christ through David. In light of these thoughts, consider these questions and answers. Question: did Jesus, during the course of his earthly ministry, often cite prophecy? Answer: yes, Jesus most certainly did. Another question: did Jesus, in the context of citing prophecy, ever cite prophecy regarding himself? Another answer: yes, of course, Jesus did so. Final question: would Jesus, who repeatedly spoke to his 12 disciples about his impending betrayal, trials, suffering, crucifixion, and death, would Jesus have also been aware of all prophetic texts that coincided with those historic events? And the final answer: yes, Jesus would certainly have been aware of all of those related prophetic texts. As evidence of that, consider just one chapter, Luke 24, one chapter in which Jesus, twice in fact, referenced Old Testament texts that spoke about his passion. We start with the first example, Jesus' encounter with the two men who were walking to Emmaus. Read through that passage in Luke 24, starting in verse 13 and continuing through verse 35. Here are the key details that emphasize the importance of Jesus' understanding of First Testament prophecy concerning himself. Jesus met two men who were traveling along the road to Emmaus, a village only 7 miles from Jerusalem, Luke 24, verse 13. These two men appear to have been part of the disciples of Jesus, not the 12 apostles, but the larger group of disciples that were still following Jesus up to this time. The words, "all the rest," referring to others that were with the 11, remember, Judas had already hanged himself, and the words of "our company," both indicate that the two men were part of that larger group of disciples. These two men had questions, and they had concerns. They already heard that certain women of "our company" had arrived at the burial tomb of Jesus and found the tomb empty, chapter 24, verse 22 and following. They heard the women say that angels informed them that Jesus is risen, chapter 24, verses 4 through 6, when it actually happened, and then verses 22 and following, as they related it to all of the disciples. They knew that Peter ran to the tomb and that Peter found it empty, as did the women, chapter 24, verse 12. As they traveled, they were talking about recent events that took place in Jerusalem, specifically about the recent death of Jesus and the report of the women and of Peter, Luke 24, 14 and following. Jesus approached them, but they did not recognize him, verses 15 and 16. Jesus asked about their conversation, specifically about why they appeared so sad, verse 17. The one named Cleopas asked whether or not Jesus was a stranger, someone unaware of what happened most recently in the city of Jerusalem, verse 18. When Jesus asked what things, verse 19, the two men spoke about Jesus of Nazareth. They described him as a prophet, mighty in deed and word, verse 19. They spoke of his condemnation by the chief priest and our rulers, and they spoke of his crucifixion, verse 20. They evinced a feeling of lost hope. Verse 21 says, "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." They told Jesus that day, the third day, word had reached them that the tomb of Jesus was empty, that the women heard from angels that Jesus was alive, that certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see, verse 24. It was at this point that Jesus spoke. Luke 24, 25 through 27 reads, "Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." The rest of the account continues through chapter 24, verse 33, where we learn that they went directly to the 11 and shared with them what they just experienced on the road. Before only briefly referencing that second account, consider what Jesus said to these two men in chapter 24, verses 25 and following. Jesus took the two men to task for failing to believe, for being slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. The words "all the prophets" that Jesus used reflects a principle found throughout the New Testament. Matthew 11:13, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." Matthew 26, verse 56, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Luke 11, verse 50, "That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation." Luke 13, 28, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out." Luke 18, verse 31, "Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished.'" Next, the two verses in this immediate context, Luke 24, verse 25, "Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken.'" Two verses later, Luke 24, 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Another verse, later in this larger context, Luke 24, verse 44, "Then he said to them, now the apostles, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Acts 3, verse 18. "But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." Three verses later, in that same chapter, Acts 3, 21, "whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Again, in Acts chapter 3, another three verses later, verse 24, "Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days." Verse 35 of Acts chapter 8, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." Acts 10:43, where Peter spoke to Cornelius and his household, "To him all the prophets witness that, through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." Acts 24:14, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Romans 16, verse 26, "But now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith." And finally, speaking of the Old Testament prophets generally, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, "Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ who was in them," that is, the prophets, "was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow." Exactly what did Jesus say to these two men who were traveling to Emmaus? We do not know all of the details, but we do know that what Jesus said included what Moses said. It included what the prophets said, and it included what all the scriptures said. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 11. These reminders as we close. To start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.